Welcome to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast, where we share practical life hacks, shortcuts, designed to shape your best life and business in the least amount of time. I'm your host, David Ubita. Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs starts right now. Hey guys, welcome back to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast, where we share practical life hacks, shortcuts to shape your best life and business in the least amount of time. I'm your host, David Ubita. In this episode, real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and profits over wages podcast hosts Ricardo Rodriguez and Matthew Messick share the secret behind what it takes to own, operate, and grow multiple companies all at the same time. We'll dive into their story when we return. Guys, welcome back to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast here with two good friends, Ricardo and Matt. And when I reconnected with Ricardo, a lot of memories of my flipping days, real estate flipping days, came to mind. And I know that you guys are in the real estate game and the investor side. And actually, you guys would be the first guests on our podcast in that space. So I've got some questions and
we might have some answers.
So talk to us. Tell our audience a little bit about what your business looks like right now before we dive into how in the world you got here.
Okay, go ahead, man.
So we have to our real estate investors, we do fix and flip projects, value add. So they're all like gut rehabs with second floor additions. Mostly there were bungalows and we popped a top and add a second floor. We also have a construction company and we have a brokerage that we just opened. So we have brokerage, construction, and development all under one roof. And we got about 15 projects going on right now. And then
we just bought Taylor.
Rehabs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a closing tomorrow actually too.
My favorite.
And now we're getting to new construction as well.
All right. So you've got 16 projects going on simultaneously. Are these primarily urban, in the city, suburbs?
They're all on the northwest side of Chicago and the north side. And then we got a couple of the suburbs.
Des Plaines and Oak Park are the ones in the suburbs.
Yeah. Nice. Mm.
Okay. So walk us through what your typical project would look like. I mean, especially I want us to talk about this, what you do from the perspective as if someone is interested in learning the game.
Let's talk about our ideal customer first, because I know we talked about this on our podcast.
Let's do that.
Our ideal buyer is not somebody who's buying their first home, though millennials seem to be buying their dream home from the get-go.
Yeah, right.
But our ideal buyer is somebody who's moving out from downtown Chicago. Their condo has gotten too small for them. It's a two bath condo, 1,000 square feet. And they're thinking about having a family, having a dog. They're thinking about having kids. So they're necessarily not ready to move to the suburbs, but they want a home big enough still within the city limits that has 3,000 square feet, 5 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms. That's our ideal.
Open concept for entertaining.
Beautiful. Right. So a beautiful modern home that, you know, smart home that you could tell it, hey, turn off the lights or turn on the TV or, you know, lower the temperature to 65 kind of thing. So just a brand new home within the shell of an old school Chicago brick bungalow.
So life hackers, I'm actually sitting here in one of your projects. And it is absolutely gorgeous. I would definitely move in here for sure.
I think I would too.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Okay, so I love the clarity there. And I think that's one of the first things that, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because in any business, whether it be real estate, if you're selling pancakes, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're not clear about who your ideal client is, and you've heard me preach this at nauseam in our program, but to hear a fellow business owner understand the importance of who your ideal client is, the problem you're solving for them. And then obviously this offer, I mean, it's freaking gorgeous in here. How did you come up with that whole strategy? What led you to the place where you found this type of clarity?
We were already in real estate and we had to find what it was that we wanted to make our projects. Like what we sort of started, we sort of landed upon it backwards because we were already doing real estate. We were already doing flips, but we didn't have an actual clarity for our business. So a lot of things were very up in the air. Just if we're being honest, things weren't going so well. Mm-hmm. So we had to get that clarity in order for us to get to like where we actually saw our business going. So it was from actually came backwards. But once we figured that out, now it's like Matt said, we're working on a lot of projects at once. Obviously they're not all, you know, at the same stages. They're all different stages, absolutely, different construction.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
But we really have stuff systematized now. We know what we're doing. Everything's kind of the same. It's the same price. Like we know what to expect now instead of going in, be like, oh, let's try to do this, hope it works out, and we'll do our best. Like now it's, we got to kind of all end up. So we're scaling a lot now too.
So tell our listeners how you guys got involved in real estate investing and what would be some advice that you'd give someone who's actually interested in dabbling in real estate?
Let's go back to, I think Matt tells the story well of how we started working together. So I'll let him answer that.
Yeah. So on my side, I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It totally changed my life. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to do real estate investing. So I started going to networking events and that's where our real estate networking events. And that's where I met Ricardo. And we were probably the two youngest people at the entire event. Everyone else was in their 30s, 40s, 50s, sure, 60s. We were both like in our mid-20s.
Not nice. The 30s, old, but I was in my early 20s. He was in his mid-20s.
I was just like, okay, I'm going to do this real estate investing thing. But like, I'm super young. I don't know what I'm doing. And then we're in the same age. We're like, hey, you want to just partner up together? And then we could figure it out. And he's like, okay.
Beautiful.
So we did that. So then we started doing wholesale deals on the side where we're both at our full-time jobs.
All right. So tell the audience what wholesaling is.
Yeah. So wholesaling is when you just find a property, a homeowner that wants to sell, and then you get it under contract with them at a discounted price. And then you basically sell or assign the contract to an actual rehabber or flipper for a markup, and you make a fee in between. So basically, you don't have any risk, you don't have any money in the project, and you can make some money without, basically having no resources. You're just putting in the time and work.
So the key though is that you're finding a homeowner that could be in distress or someone who may not be in distress but is looking to move their property. You're not going on the MLS,
right,
finding properties and then pitching them as wholesale deals. We've seen that done, but no. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm saying it, because I've heard wholesalers do that all the time. And I'm like, look, man, that's not wholesaling.
Yeah, because people are going to see them and be like, I could just buy directly from the homeowner.
Yeah.
But that's how we got – so that's how we got started. But then after a while, because that's one of the things that I say when people try to get started in real estate, they – think that wholesaling is the one that's the easiest, right? Because there's no risk. You're not doing any work. You're just putting a property in their contract, turning it over to somebody else and making some sort of cut in between. But the hard part about that is that you've never done a rehab. You've never lifted a hammer. You've never bought drywall. You've never estimated repairs on an actual property. So a lot of the time it's like you're trying to wholesale a property and you're estimating repairs based on nothing because you've never done any repairs.
You're guessing all the numbers and then you're hoping the rehabber agrees with you.
You know what's irritating about that approach that's pitched by gurus all the time, the real estate gurus? Oh, if you try to, wholesaling and you'll make this and that. When I've realized that wholesaling can be a very lucrative business. I've got friends who do it at high volume, but it's taken them years to develop.
It takes a long time.
That list of vetted investors, having a system in place where you can find homeowners direct, that takes more time than what the gurus per se are saying. Well, if you just do this, it's no money. And I honestly believe that they do that just to get people, just to get button seats, right? So that they walk in the door and then they'll try to pitch them for something else.
Yeah.
which is irritating.
Continue the story.
Oh, so then, yeah, we after doing that for a couple of years, we're like, okay, we're going to do this for real or not. So then we both end up leaving our jobs. We incorporated, and then we bought our first rental and our first two flips within like 3 months of each other.
What was that like? How did that feel?
It was awesome because we're like, okay, we're not just wholesalers. We're trying to do real estate. Like, we own property now, and we're getting the actual experience. And then,
were you guys nervous?
Not really. No, it's kind of weird. Yeah, it was just because we had.
It's also because we don't know what the hell we're doing. So yeah. It was more like ignorance was bliss. So it's like, yeah, we didn't know. Exactly.
I was just like, oh yeah, everything's gonna work. It's gonna be awesome
for our own good. We didn't know how hard it was gonna be.
Because well, you know, every flip is perfect, right? There is never a surprise ever.
Even if the one that we're standing in right now, it wasn't perfect.
Yeah. That's pretty close.
One was really, it was good, but it's like we still had the challenges. There's always something that happens. Yeah. But like I've said before, it's like I think everything happens in every flip. You just get really good at dealing with the bullshit. I don't know if you can swear in your podcast, by the way.
Well, we do now.
But we do now. Okay. Now we're going to have to make it. We're going to have to make it explicit just for me because apparently I swear a lot.
I'll have to put the little, you know, rated R sign.
Right. No, so like I feel like just in every endeavor and business and entrepreneurship in general, stuff always happens. But yeah. The more experience you get, the less it faces you because you've dealt with it before. So you're like, okay, yeah, that I've already dealt with that. I know how to deal with it. Or you see it ahead of time where you actually avoid that mistake.
Yeah, like your tolerance level increases.
Right. Like the more spicy food you eat, the more tolerance you have for spicy food. Exactly. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Or alcohol.
And then you know what to do on the next one. And you keep making the different mistakes until you no longer make them because you already know what to expect. You know, you're not going to let something happen to you that already happened because you're aware of it. Mm-hmm.
Totally. So you guys got your first, couple of deals down. How many are in the pipeline or how many of you guys have done so far?
I think we're at like 21.
Beautiful.
Total transactions.
Very nice.
And a lot of those we just started scaling a lot this year. So a lot of those are backloaded too because, as a, business owner, entrepreneur, it's not a linear, like every year, say as like an employee, you get a little bit of a raise. As an employee, you do some deals the first year, then you do like double the second, compounds. It grows exponentially.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we're in that phase right now where we're scaling. We got all our systems down. We know what we're doing. It's just, we're executing
for the most part. Yeah.
Beautiful. So what's been the most difficult transaction or rehab project and what were the challenges?
We had one that was our biggest one at the time.
Roscoe?
Yeah. And then there was contractor issues. There was we ran out of money and we had to get more money.
What contractor issues?
We changed the plans in the middle of the process. This is all fucked
up. We did.
It makes me angry because it was so bad.
We made so many mistakes and it was actually probably like a deal that would bankrupt anybody else because a lot of those deals do bankrupt people. But sure. We stuck with it. We got the project done. Like a lot of people would just walk away and let it sit or let someone take it back. But it was either do we give up and go back to something else or do we get through this, use it as a lesson. And then we ended up doing that and that we used that as a base for all our future projects because then we went through it and we knew all the mistakes. So we made every mistake in the book. So then every project after that, we knew what to do because we did it wrong in the first place. But yeah, there's a lot of issues on that.
I've been there, done that, man. There's been some times where I want to choke some contractors. I'm like, dude.
But I think a lot of it comes from yourself. Like, I know the mistakes, we made the mistakes, but we could easily blame the contractors for them, screwing us over. But at the same time, it was our fault. We didn't set the right expectations. We didn't set anything the correct way. We set them up for failure.
Very true. Very good point. Always take a look at what your contribution was. I like it.
We're too tolerant. We didn't...
We're so tolerant that he thought that we were friends. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, this is business.
It's business, right?
So you can't just leave for 2 or 3 weeks. And let the
so it's like
sit.
When it's time to and discipline somebody, it's like, oh, I thought we were friends. Like, no. You're still work for me.
If we're friends, then you should work for free. Like,
yeah, I know.
You're helping me out. I'm like,
yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the biggest one as far as the one that we learned the most on. Because if it wasn't for that one, we probably wouldn't be where we're at now.
So you guys started out in different fields before you guys took the dive.
Yeah, Matt worked as a staff accountant.
Yeah,
at a startup downtown. I worked out in the suburbs as a design engineer and project engineer for a manufacturing plant. Really, just drawing. Yeah,
that's a big transition.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it kind of worked good because then, you know, I would raise money for the projects. So I had an accounting background and Ricardo would manage the construction.
I think there's a lot of skills that translate from our previous careers to what we do now. Matt having an accounting background, it's very easy for him. He does the raising of
funds. He does the numbers.
Right. So it's very easy for him to talk business, or not to talk business, but because he do have a business degree.
Yeah, that's
true. But it's very easy for him to talk numbers with somebody because he, you know, as a former accountant, numbers are very easy. For you to just spew out percentages and return rates and all that stuff is very easy for him to do.
Yeah, that side of my brain doesn't work like that.
And then for me, it's more now like the way that our business is set up is more about just strategy and things like that, just planning ahead of time. So working in a manufacturing plant and, you know, being a project engineer, it's worked in my favor to be able to plan ahead and be able to look at the entire picture just in one view and move different pieces together as far as strategic planning goes, I think. Yeah.
What do you guys see yourself doing in 5 years with the business?
I mean, that's ever evolving. So it's like,
it also changes because the real estate market is so fluctuates a lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But as far as like the brokerage side, I see, because we just, you know, like Matt mentioned, we recently started a real estate brokerage. I see that business as us having, you know, 50, 60 agents and we're doing, you know, tens, hundreds of transactions a year. As far as the podcast that we host, I just see ourselves continuing to do that because we enjoy it a lot. I personally, it's one of the most, I think I made a post on Facebook the other day about how starting a podcast and being able to talk to different business owners and entrepreneurs is just one of the most rewarding things I've ever done.
I agree 100%.
You know, and, but as far as the development side, it, even though it's ever changing, I see us doing a lot of what we're doing now and just scaling, getting things tighter where there's a lot more systems in place.
What do you guys do? I know on the business side, it's important to be on top of your game and develop yourself in that respect. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys do internally? What have you guys been focusing on to help you develop internally?
We've probably spent over $100,000 in self-development alone.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that, please?
We've spent well over $100,000 in self-development since we've been in business together.
Yeah, we go to like so many different boot camps and seminars and learning from different aspects of the business. Like even the brokerage that we're opening had a specific intention that we wanted to do. And then we found someone who already did it. And then we went and flew out for a site visit for like 3 days. This guy had already had a whole training program and now we're just replicating that business model.
So I'll give you a little bit of context on that just so hopefully we don't make your podcast go too long here.
No, believe me, I'm all about the vibe, man. Keep going.
So our vision for the brokerage was because, you know, in real estate investing, right? Our entire goal in the development side is to find distressed sellers, you know, somebody who's going through bankruptcy, foreclosure, divorce, and unwanted inherited property. So we do a lot of lead generation for that. You know, we put signs out, send letters. And a lot of the time, a lot of the leads that we were getting was somebody who was just trying to sell their house. Just a normal house. There's no distress. The house is nice enough that it can be listed on the MLS. So a lot of the time, with a lot of the leads, we were just like, hey, you know, it sounds like, when I would be on the phone with them, I was like, hey, it sounds like your house is just too pretty for us to even buy. Hmm. And we'd be like, that's it. We would just let the lead go, or we would keep some of those leads and try to give them out to other brokers so they could go in on a listing appointment and list it. So our entire vision for that was like, why don't we build the brokerage around that, you know, around doing both marketing for distressed sellers, but also being able to take advantage of retail leads. And Matt found this guy out in Boston who's been doing that for 5 years, 3 years?
Probably 3 to 5.
And he had our vision for the brokerage to the T, mm-hmm. right? What we wanted to do is what he's been doing for however long he's been doing it. And he offers a program that teaches you how to do that. So we're like, let's do it and literally copy everything that he's doing. And that's what we're doing now.
So it's all about, instead of, there's this phrase, rather cap be genius than create mediocrity. Mm. So if there's something that you want to do, the chances are someone else has probably already done it or at least started it. So you can go out and find that, replicate that, and then you could take out things that you don't, you know, that's not working. You could add your own flair, and then, but you could use something else as a base instead of starting everything else from scratch, and it gives you a head start on something.
So use it as a starting point, a reference point, really, and then you can customize it to your own personality.
Right, because why are you going to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, for sure.
When somebody's already done it, just make it better.
For they sure. Say in like,
not make it better, but just
give it your own
taste or flair. Or
yeah.
Like in touch. School, you get in trouble for copying someone else's work, but in business, like that's just how business works.
You get rewarded for copying.
Yeah. 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 How about it? I like it.
But yeah. And then, you know, as far as self-development goes, I read a lot.
But what are some of the things like is there a specific category that you personally follow to help you
read, like in books?
Yeah. Like, is there a specific topic?
Obviously nonfiction, a lot of books like, you know, principles. I just picked out this book called Traction, who was recommended by a podcast guest that we had, this other one called The Messy Middle, or, you know, just business books that just talk about how to grow a business, how to develop a business. Since we started the brokerage, I'm reading a lot of stuff on how to keep employees happy, how to be able to manage employees correctly. You know, just things that are going to help me with the vision that I have. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm envisioning 30, 40, 50 people working under us, I want to be able to manage them correctly. So I'm going to read books on how to manage people correctly. Mm-hmm. Right. All the books, everything that I read, everything that I listen to, you know, as far as Audible books go, are all very specific, very strategic on what I see myself doing in the future. And, you know, I obviously listen to a lot of crap, like comedy and stuff like that.
Because you need for a entertainment break. Purposes.
You need a break sometimes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
People are, you know, turn your car into a mobile university, but sometimes I just feel like listening to some, I don't know,
Lil Wayne,
Kodak Black, or, you know, Migos or something.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Yeah.
But yeah,
We've also done social media training, like even for the podcast. We went to Podcast Movement in July, which is the biggest podcast conference in the world. It's like 5 or 6 days. And then we just checked last week, and I don't think it's a coincidence, but like the next month, our listener base actually doubled. You know, per month, which is like nuts.
I think I told you when I reached out to you, like we just broke 1,000 downloads per month.
Yeah, that's freaking awesome.
But yeah, as you can see, like the theme it's of self development is all very strategic and very not planned out, but it's just out of necessity, really. Like just being able to realize like where you need help, right? Or yeah, I don't know.
It's so, like your mind's like a muscle, right? So if like, you know, you being a bodybuilder, you gotta be able to, if you work out your muscles, they get bigger, they get stronger. So if you want to get bigger and stronger in your mindset, you got to work out your mind. So you have to feed yourself all these books, you know, listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. find the experts, learn from them. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept.
How do you guys identify your weak spots? I know that's one of the things that I work with my clients on, and, you know, most of us don't want to admit we have weak spots.
No, I think
your business tells you where you make the most mistakes.
Yeah, and to
I need to figure this out.
And to me, one of the most good qualities that somebody can have is self-awareness. Like it all comes down to being self-aware of what you're good at and what you're not good at. Mm-hmm. So it's just being self-aware of those things that you really lack at, and just being honest with yourself and be like, hey, like I know for a fact I've done the managing projects and doing the construction. I'm not good at it.
Mm. That's for sure.
Our partner, our new partner Jay is fucking amazing at it.
It's phenomenal.
That's his lane.
Let him do that. That's his lane, and I'll go ahead.
Yeah,
I still help on picking the finishes because I'm very design minded, and I like to put my own taste.
That's your background as an engineer.
Yeah, no, this is no. It was a manufacturing plant. We design like, you know, like the signs that go up on like the skyscrapers.
It's also as like a photographer, you know,
right,
for design.
Right. So I've been into like photography and graphic design, and I just stuff that look nice appeal to me.
Yeah. There's this artistic side.
Right. So I still pick, you know, tile and colors and floors and, you know, like the wall over here, you know, like the board and band wall that goes all the way to the ceiling. That was my idea.
Yeah, the decor here is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So if someone's starting out in real estate, what would be your best advice for them?
I would say immediately start going to networking events, meet other people that are in the industry, start reading books and podcasts on the subjects that you want to learn, that you want to do. The best thing you can do is, you know, find a mentor, find someone that's doing what you want to do and learn from them. Mm-hmm. So those are the two biggest things. And that's when our business really took off. Like I just went to like a meetup.com and I was like, I joined like 50 groups. And then I looked at the whole month of like what events were going up, and I planned out my entire month of what I was going to. And then like literally probably for about a year, went to 2 to 3 networking events a week, like every week, and just immerse myself in the business and the industry. This works for any industry, any business that you're doing. Find out other people in the industry that are doing it and are killing it and learn from them, and then just self-educate. And then don't do that for too long, but then go out and start, you know, doing deals or start applying it after you feel comfortable enough or have like, you know, some knowledge. Because then you also have to learn from experience as well.
I agree. The immersion piece is very important, not only from a content and, you know, kind of like the gathering stage of information, but then you just hit it on the head. Then comes the actual practical aspect, where most people get stuck on, I'm just going to sit here and get more information.
Analysis by paralysis.
Yeah, analysis by paralysis. If I get one more book, if I get one more contact, then I'll. But yeah. You really don't know until you throw your, you know, your hat in the ring, so to speak, and then just start learning through the mistakes that you make, because you're going to make them, and that's okay.
To me, it would be an advice I would give somebody wanting to get started in real estate would be to assess yourself and come up with what you're good at and what you're not good at, and then finding the team members that will complement your strengths. Instead of focusing on trying to bring up your weaknesses, just double down on your strengths and find somebody else who's good at your weaknesses, because you're going to spend too much time trying to bring your weaknesses up to par to your strengths. Just double down on your strengths and find somebody who's good at what you're not good at.
Very good point. I was reading, I'm a audible.com junkie. I take in about 2 or 3 books a week. And one of the books was mentioning how the really, really successful people who, and I don't define success just by your bank account, but it's the impact that people make. And the one common thread is they invest the majority of their time, probably 90% of their time, in what they do best.
Yeah.
What their lane is. And the problem is most people don't even know what their lane is. They have no idea, because they're trying to save the world, right? And then they forget about themselves. But if we were to just kind of like get a little bit more laser focused on what we do best, and then, as you just mentioned, surround ourselves with some rock stars, I think that's when business really takes off.
I think a way to do that, and I was just reading this this really short book that I was just reading. I forgot the name. But he was saying, to find out what you're not good at, to talk to somebody either, or journal, or get a, you know, go to therapy, or just talk to somebody, because that's the way that you're going to find out what you're not good at. Instead of just, if you keep thinking and thinking and thinking, you're having a conversation with yourself, and then yourself is going to justify your own thoughts. So you're never going to get out of your own head. You have to say it to somebody, and that's when things don't make sense, right? So just talking it out, talking to somebody to see, like, you know, what your strengths are, and then maybe journaling. Journaling helps me a lot. I just put all my thoughts on there, and then I just realized that most of the time I'm just lying to myself.
let's take that even a step further, because I really like what you were, where you were going with that. What we're good at, let's define that. It's not necessarily like what we are good at because we've continued to work at it and created a habit. I think it also includes what comes natural to you,
mm-hmm.
right? I think when people tell you, like growing up, I was always told, man, you do this well, you do this well. So that feedback that we've gotten, even, you know, growing up and as we've gotten older, what's been that feedback? And like you just mentioned, being a little bit more clear and identifying those things and staying in those lanes that are as a result of what we're really just natural at.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, guys, any last thoughts for our audience as we wrap up this conversation on Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs?
I would say just don't be afraid. If there's something you want to do, go out and do it, because we all have that fear. And a lot of times people will say, oh, I'll do this one day, and they'll just, you know, wait because they're fearful, and then they might never even get to do it or go out and, you know, do it, and just, you know, jump in with both feet.
I thought you were just
going to do it, the faster you get over your fear.
I thought you were just going to do a Grant Cardone and say, don't be a little bitch. Wait, what did you say the other day?
So funny.
You know how you said, like, you don't measure success by the size of your bank account?
Mm-hmm.
What did you tell me about Grant Cardone the other day that he was actually asking people to show him their bank account?
Yeah, no, I know some people who know him personally, some of his partners, and he's just like, he's a savage.
he's like, dude, show me your bank account.
If someone says they're successful, he'll be like, show me your bank account. And then, you know, a normal person would say no. So the guy said no. And Grant Cardone just took out his phone and went out his bank account and started showing him like his, like it was like some had like 5 million, one had 10 million, like he showed him all stuff. So then like, you know, you if you want to do something, then you show someone that you are willing to do it first. And then the other guy showed him his and he goes, okay, he's like, you're doing all right. Like,
yeah. All right. So where can people find you, especially those of us who in the audience who might be looking to start, you know, real estate investing? You know, I'm sure you guys would be open to helping them out as well.
Yeah. So real estate, our company is called Park Place Property Group. So you can find us at parkplaceprop.com or email either one of us at matt@parkplaceprop.com or ricardo@parkplaceprop.com. And then we also have our own podcast, profitsoverwages.co. And then
in the podcast, we do weekly interviews with highly successful business owners and entrepreneurs. And it's not necessarily real estate. We've had some people in the custom clothing industry, contracting, realtors, coaching, PR. I mean, just
full gamut.
Just a full gamut of people, just successful business owners and entrepreneurs. So if that's something that you're interested in, definitely check it out. Profitsoverwages.co. And then you could also find it on pretty much anywhere where you get podcasts, except Anchor. I don't think we're on Anchor, but everything else we are.
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere else.
YouTube, CastBox, everything.
Very nice. Ricardo, Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, man,
here on Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs.
Hey, you've been listening to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast, where we share practical life hacks to shape your best life and business in the least amount of time with your host, loss mitigation executive, entrepreneur, and nationally featured author and speaker, David Ubeda. Hey, life hackers, help us reach more people. We need your help. Stop by iTunes, give us a positive review and rating. Remember, our goal is to become the number one small business podcast on iTunes, so your feedback really does matter. Hey, for more great content like you found here on this podcast, make sure to visit davidubeda.com. Until next time, continue to grind, grow, and give.